This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله العظيم من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد، يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت، بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. أشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله، أدى الأمانة وبلغ الرسالة ونصح للأمة وكشف الغمة، وتركنا على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك، فعليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اجعلنا منهم ومن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. آمين يا رب العالمين. وأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله، وقد أمرنا بالحق، وقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. ثم أما بعد, we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by declaring that none has the right to be worshipped or unconditionally obeyed except for him, and we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final prophet and messenger. We ask Allah to send his peace and blessings upon him, his family, his companions, and those that follow until the day of judgment, and we ask Allah to make us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. Dear brothers and sisters, the goal of this khutbah is nothing more than to teach you a dua, to teach you a supplication that you can make, especially in the coming days, and that we can learn, understand, comprehend properly. And usually the goal of the khutbah is not known until the end of the khutbah, and sometimes it's not even known then. And I want you to know exactly what I want you to take from this khutbah from now. There are many du'as for victory in the Qur'an, and there are many different connotations of victory in the Qur'an. The most famous of those du'as are the last few ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, where we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا, until the end, where we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاعْفُ عَنَّا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. So a very famous du'a that you will hear sometimes in the Jum'ah khutbah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he ascended on the night of Al-Isra' wal-Mi'raj, and that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to say every single night before we go to sleep, the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that that supplication of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa'afu anna, waghfir lana warhamna, to forgive us, to pardon us, to have mercy upon us. You are our master, so grant us victory over al-qawm al-kafirin. Grant us victory over the disbelievers. This dua, the Prophet ﷺ said, these two verses suffice a believer as they go to sleep at night. You know, if there's nothing else that you would say before you sleep at night, if you forget all of your adhkar, remember those two verses. And there are other du'as that we find within the Qur'an and within the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But there is another dua that's very interesting because it's not often interpreted as a dua for victory. And I want to preface this by saying that when we talk about victory and we talk about the victory of the ummah, as we make dua every single Jum'ah khutbah, and there's no shying away from this, where we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma izza al-Islam wal-Muslimin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to honor Islam and to honor the believers, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for the believers around the world, and we mention the believers in the East and in the West and so on and so forth. But why is this relevant to us now? Why is this relevant to us now? People are extremely nervous in this country and don't even bother trying to interpret my dua or me saying that the dua for victory is a dua for the victory of Hillary Clinton. I'm not even implying that. And I have to put that on the table from now before I even go any further in this khutbah. People are extremely nervous about what direction this country will take, about what this election represents in the greater sense beyond two candidates who were wildly unpopular in the first place. People are very nervous about whether this election coming up will validate a certain ugliness and bigotry and racism that has resurfaced in America, that really never disappeared, but at least from rhetoric, mainstream rhetoric and political discourse, has been out of the discussion for a very long time. People are nervous, and rightfully so. People are also very nervous that this election is really not ending on November 8th, and that's a very legitimate concern, that this election will not end on November 8th. No matter who is elected President of the United States, no matter what the polls give us at every legislative level, on November 8th, we can expect rising hate crimes, rising anti-Islamic rhetoric, rising bigotry. You know, unfortunately, this is what people are expecting, that things will continue no matter what, which candidate wins the race. So we're very nervous. And as a Muslim community in particular, having been the victims of such ugliness in this particular election, yes, we're extremely nervous. You know, a black church was burned down in Mississippi a couple of days ago and was, you know, it was spray painted, "Vote Trump." So people have a right to be nervous. Houses of worship being vandalized, people being targeted, hate crimes rising, and so on and so forth. Here's what we can say for sure. Our da'wah does not end no matter what happens on November 8th. Our presence in this country does not end no matter what happens on November 8th. Our benefit to society as a whole and the need for us to reform not just our own communities but society as a whole, to stand on the side of justice no matter who is on either side, to be with the people and to make sure that we are on the side of truth and we're on the right side of history, that doesn't end with November 8th. We're still going to have a lot of work cut out for us. Our organizing as a community and learning to be like the Prophet ﷺ was rahmatan lil alameen, a mercy to all the worlds. One who was a standard, one who used to bear the flag of truth and in every way possible, sometimes manifest in justice, sometimes manifest in mercy and compassion and service. That doesn't end after November 8th. We still have to learn to be good Muslim productive citizens and build viable institutions that can continue to face challenges that will come after November 8th. Nothing ends on November 8th, for us as a community, as far as we're concerned. So, as all of this takes place, what are the du'as that we should be making and what are the supplications that we should be making? Now, I'm assuming that everyone has already got the point of voting and is doing their part. We have a lot of Muslims registered to vote, but hopefully people actually made use of that and went out and voted. So I'm not even talking about voting right now. What du'as should we be making? And there was one particular du'a that stood out to me that I wanted to share with you in this khutbah and that I wanted us to talk about. It's a du'a that in two different wordings comes on the tongue of two prophets of Allah. Two of the greatest prophets of Allah from Ulul Azmi min al-Rusul, the greatest messengers of Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam. As for Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he called upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Oh Allah, do not make us a trial for those who have rejected truth. Don't make us a test for people. Don't let us be their fitna. That's an interesting dua. Don't let us be their trial or tribulation. The dua of Musa alayhi salam, رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. O Allah, do not let us be a trial or a test for a transgressing or oppressing people. Now the reason why these two du'as, and again they're along the same tone, are so interesting is because most Muslims would read that and have no idea what that means. I mean, aren't they a fitna for us? If Allah gives victory to that which stands opposed to the truth in all of its different forms and manifestations, isn't that a test for us? Aren't we going to question ourselves when we are humiliated and we go through certain things as an ummah, collectively, as a community, as a people? Aren't we going to take a step back and question ourselves and say, wait a minute, what does this mean for us? And why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forsaking us? The answer is no. The implied meaning of this verse, first and foremost, is that the believers understand that what comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is good or bad, whether it is hardship or ease, whether it is victory or defeat, that there is a lesson in all of that. And even if the defeat comes at our own hands and because of what we have reaped in whatever battle, in whatever debate, in whatever discussion, in whatever it may be, whatever referendum, if defeat comes to us as a people, then it's because of what our hands have reaped, but there's a lesson in that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's divine wisdom in that. So the believers understand that, and when they are faced with difficulty as a community, they wake up to themselves and they reassess themselves and reevaluate themselves. They do not say, why did Allah do this to us? They said, why didn't Allah give us victory? What should we be doing better? That's the attitude of the believer when these things come. So Ibrahim alayhi salam's dua as he faced hardship was not, oh Allah, don't make them a trial for us. It was, don't make us a trial for them. What does he mean by that? What Ibrahim alayhi salam meant by that, as the Mufassirun point out, that if you allow them to win, then they might think that they are upon the truth and we are upon falsehood. It will be a fitna for them, it will be a trial for them, because they will think that they're right, and they will think that their actions are justified and validated, and they will continue in their arrogance if you let them win. As for us, we know. If you let us win, we need to be humble. If we lose, we need to be humble. If we are humiliated, we need to be humble. If we're given victory, we need to be humble. If we're given victory, we think, what could we have done better? And what did we do right, perhaps, that gave us the victory of Allah? If we're given defeat, what do we do better so that we're not defeated the next time around? Where is our spiritual being? And where is our actual physical, tangible action being placed? What do we do next time? And we reassess ourselves. But for those that oppress, and those that are on the side of falsehood, if they are validated, then it's a problem for them. Scholars point out something very powerful about Ibrahim alayhi salam, that Ibrahim alayhi salam, despite the humiliation that he faced in his life, and despite the hatred that was hurled towards him, and despite the rejection that he faced, Ibrahim did not resent people. He didn't hold it in his heart against his people. He was still worried about them. So do you ever find Ibrahim alayhi salam cursing his father even after his father put him through the most traumatic phase of his life? And in the worst situation, Ibrahim alayhi salam did not resent his father. Ibrahim alayhi salam still wanted good for his father. So when Ibrahim alayhi salam was facing that over and over and over again, there's a concern. The concern is not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will He give me victory or not? Because it's a matter of when, it's not a matter of if for the believers. That's not a question. The concern is what happens to those people. I don't want them to think that they're right. Lesna ala al-haq, that we're not upon the truth. That they're upon the truth and we're upon batil and falsehood. I want them to wake up. And that is a beautiful sign of the hope of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his people, the hope of Musa alayhi salam and his people, and also the benevolence that they had with their people, even as their people took directions that were troublesome. Even as their people took positions of falsehood, they did not give up on them. So the dua is comprehensive in many ways. Don't make us a fitna for them. They can't be a fitna for us, because we're not going to question our stance or our faith. For the believer, forsaking the truth is not an option. And the truth is at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said and what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given to us. That's the truth. Forsaking that is not an option. What comes circumstantially, that's out of our hands. We need to assess ourselves. Always assess ourselves. But for them, one of the greatest dangers we have as a country, and one of the du'as we should be making for a country, for our nation, and yes, it's our country too, is that bigotry is not validated. Is that that direction is a direction of the past, because it will hold us down as a community, it will hold other communities down, it would hold the nation down. That's in the general sense. We don't want that stuff to be validated. And that's not out of hatred or vengeance, that's out of our wanting good for people. Musa alayhi salam, when he says, don't make us a fitna for those who are zalimeen, don't make us a fitna for the oppressors. It's so that they don't continue in their oppression. Because what happens when an oppressor gets away with his oppression? What does he do? Continues to oppress. His oppression grows. So whether it's oppression or whether it is kufr, as it grows and as it's validated, it becomes more difficult for a person to repent from those things. So one of the du'as that we inevitably should be making is, رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Don't let us be a trial for them. Now what else do we take from this to reflect for ourselves on a very practical level? On a very practical level. It's what Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah said. That as a believer, if you encounter someone who's upon falsehood, and you give them da'wah, or you try to show them the truth, if they don't leave convinced with the truth, at least don't let your actions push them away from Islam. Don't be a cause for them being pushed away from the truth. Don't make us a fitna for them. What does that mean? If I'm a non, and we've already established that in this nation, by the way, half of people have never met a Muslim, they've never known a Muslim. And that's not entirely their fault, that's our fault. A lot of people have never met a Muslim because you never made it a point to reach out to them. And I'm not even just talking about pamphlet distribution. I'm not even just talking about da'wah in that sense, in terms of, you know, printing things. I'm talking about people that you could have talked to, that were within your scope. The neighbor that you said hi to, hopefully at least you said hi to, you know, as you were walking out of your house, but you never made it a point to actually go and introduce yourself and humanize yourself and humanize your religion. If the only experience and interaction I have with a Muslim is a negative one, then I'm likely to think bad about Islam as well. And if I was the cause of that negative perception of Islam by my bad character and my bad khuluq, then I am a fitna for that person. I've helped turn that person further away from the truth. So if my encounter with a Muslim in business is that Muslim is a corrupt businessman and a cheater, if my encounter with a Muslim in public is that Muslim is rude, and that Muslim, you know, has no basic decency and ethics, if my encounter with the Muslim community is that the Muslim community is not an ethical community, it's not a community that stands for others, it's a community that's self-serving, it's a community that only expects others to stand with it. If that's my experience with the Muslims, then the Muslims are a fitna to me. They're making it harder for me to find the truth. It's already hard enough in this world. It's already hard enough to find Islam. So if you're not going to give someone da'wah, then at least don't push them further away with your behavior. At least don't push them further away with your actions. And so that du'a as well is to be interpreted at a very practical level, that I, with my actions, don't make that person hate Islam. Don't make that person hate Muslims. You and I could have created a Trump voter, and you weren't even paying attention. You and I could have created a person who hates, you know, Muslims, hates everybody, and we weren't even paying attention. All you had to do was pay a little bit more attention and be a little bit more courteous. But you allowed yourself and your community to be dehumanized by not serving as a bridge. Whereas subhanallah, one smile, well, you know, it's just amazing. One courteous moment. You know how much it confuses someone that hates Muslims when a Muslim does something nice for them? Just confuses them, right? I was getting off a plane this actually on my way back, subhanAllah, this weekend. And, you know, I just wanted to offer the lady that was sitting across to get her bag. And she was freaked out. She was scared. Like, what's he going to put in my bag? What's he going to do to my bag? And subhanAllah, just putting a bag down and smiling and saying, you know, go ahead, is that yours? It's just confused. She was visibly confused. That's how much we've been dehumanized. That even our nice small actions are treated with suspect. Even your nice actions are suspicious. So what do you have to do? Break that perception that's been created about you. That doesn't stop with an election. It doesn't matter who wins on November 8th. You still have to do that. Because you know what? No matter who wins, a lot of people in this country still hate you and I's guts. And hate the beautiful religion that we've been given because we haven't done a good enough job of showing people the beauty of it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to make us a fitna for the people. Instead to make us a guidance for the people. رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ وَلَكُمْ وَنِسَاءَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين والعاقبة للمتقين. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Dear brothers and sisters, it is upon us inshallah ta'ala as we continue to be civically engaged, as we continue to mature institutionally and continue to reassess our methods, to continue to make dua, to continue to pray. And salah, our dua, is not just for our good, it's for the good of our country, for the good of our city, for the good of our enemies even, as our anbiya taught us, as our prophets taught us. So my appeal to you is, as we grow, continue to make dua, and learn from the dua, learn from the supplication, and the spirit, and the framework that's created by the supplications of the anbiya of Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, to use us for good, to not allow us to be a source of anyone's aversion to the truth. We ask Allah to rectify us and to rectify through us, to guide us and to guide through us. We ask Allah to allow this country to move away from oppression, to allow this country to move away from hatred and bigotry. We ask Allah to allow this country to move away from killing innocent people. We ask Allah to allow this country to move away from imperialism and racism and militarism. And we ask Allah to allow this country to develop and to develop into a great country, to continue to grow, to be a place where our deen can flourish, where goodness can flourish, where truth is made supreme to falsehood. Allahumma ameen. Allahumma ghfir al-mu'mineen wal-mu'minat wal-muslimin wal-muslimat al-ahya'i minhum wal-amwat innaka sami'un qareebun mujibu da'wat. اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا واعف عنا ولا تعذبنا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها. اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والكاذبين ودمر أعداء الدين. اللهم أهلك الظالمين بالظالمين وأخرجنا وإخواننا من بينهم سالمين. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على النعماء يزد لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.
اقرأ كتاب الله ترق جنانه وتن العظيم الأجر والأجر.